You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. Tuesday night edition. We are kicking off Act 2 here. Rob Thomas will be here at 7:20 talking movies. He's a Madison-based film critic and very much a frequent flyer. Would you call him a frequent flyer here on Nightlight, Conrad?
Oh, definitely.
Rob's on quite a bit. We love talking to Rob. And Max Hay is also here. He's agreed to stick with us through the news for a few more minutes. We'll get back to Max in just a minute. We talked about, in the first hour, if you missed it, our question of the night is, how do you like your chocolate? It's National Chocolate Day, so let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app, or if you're watching the radio on the stream, drop us a stream comment on YouTube, Facebook, or X. And Dave on the stream, by the way, says, I like this answer. He said 50% cocoa, caramel, crunchy bits of toffee. There you go, Con.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Bring enough for everyone, Dave. Melissa from Willie Street in the 608 says, Ollie is so wonderful. I love her stories. She always makes me smile. I am totally with you, Melissa. Ollie, I hope you're still listening. And John from the 608 says, Ollie's new Delta Tau Chi name is Gwanny. Wow, grandma? I don't know. What if Ollie's like 39, John? I don't know if you want to. She has said she's a little bit older. We also talked about a movie I saw that I really liked, Truth and Treason, based on a true story. A teenager in Nazi Germany in 1942 stands up to Hitler. And boy, I really want to say what happens, but it would be a spoiler alert. But it's a very, the main character is very courageous. It's a really good movie. Definitely recommend it. And with that in mind, let's get back to our guest. Max Hay directed a movie called Now More Yes, a documentary that he shot with a subject actor, whatever you want to say, a very interesting person named T.W. Hansen, who is a blind picture car purchaser. Max, thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, happy to hang around with you guys. It's been fun.
Yeah, I want to ask you, are you committed to documentaries, or do you have, like, do you want to dip your toe in the narrative waters?
I definitely want to, do narrative stuff down the line. I think a lot of it, a lot of what keeps me interested in doing docs for now, I think, is just how interesting the real world is. And I think there's just like so much to tell from what already is happening that it just seems like a weird time to even generate some new idea. I'm so overloaded. I'm also really broke. So it's way cheaper to just, take out your phone and see what happens than.
Did you film it on your phone? Did you film the
some of it?
Nice.
Yeah, not a lot of it. But I'm not a shooter. I'm an editor. So a lot of the stuff I shot was kind of hard to color correct. It's funny. Andrew Swant did the color, and he said, "What camera did you use for this scene? This is like the best color you know. This is the best shot stuff you have." And I was like, "Oh, that's my iPhone Mini." Like, thanks.
Hey, you had I saw you had Mark Borchardt in the movie too. Love Mark. I actually cast him in something I did years ago. He was such a joy, and I've become pretty good friends with Mark over the years. He shares all of our posts. He's such a salt of the earth guy and really knowledgeable about film. How did he find his way into your project?
Oh yeah, he's a total treasure. I've known him a long time. He actually he was part of a film that TW was wrangling cars for when I met Tim for the first time. And, he's just all around just a huge supporter of the arts in general and also just the film scene here. So he's gonna, it's such a tight-knit arts community. And I think his perspective on things and his relationship with Tim kind of helps hold the story together a little bit, I think.
Right. That's great. Well, before we let you go, I have two questions for you, Max. Do you have a favorite location in Milwaukee or Wisconsin where you look at it and you go, man, I'd love to shoot something there?
not really. Okay. I'm more a go in the woods kind of person. Oh. You know, I really like the like trails in downtown Milwaukee or east side.
Okay.
River West area. If you go down there, I think there's a lot of cool little spots that merge like urban infrastructure while also like showing the wildlife we have still here in town. And I think there's no like, you know, particular coordinates that I would like share, but it's like you take a walk down there and you're like, this is cool.
Hmm. That's good. I think sometimes you see a location, for me anyway, and I'm like, oh man, a scene would look great right there. Like, it almost can inspire an entire idea if you find a cool enough location. And it sounds like you have one there. That's pretty interesting. All right, last question for you, buddy. What are you watching? Anything you could recommend? Are you binge watching anything?
Lately, I've been trying to keep up with, I'm not a big TV show person. I'm bad at committing to stuff, but, so far, Chair Company, or wait, I think that's what it's called. The Chair Company with Tim Robinson.
Yeah. We've been watching that too.
Very funny.
And when is that? Is the new episode out, Con? Is it Wednesday night?
Sundays.
Oh, it's Sundays. Mm-hmm. So there's a third episode out.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, I totally forgot about that. Okay. Yeah. Great choice. That last episode where he leads that girl. He's trying to lose her, and she almost gets killed.
Yeah, in the middle of the intersection.
So I hope we didn't just spoil something for you, Max. I assume you were up to date on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're good.
All right. Fantastic. Hey, thanks for your time tonight, Max. Best of luck with the film. Keep us posted. If it gets up this way in Northeast Wisconsin or down in Madison, we'd love to know about it, so keep us informed.
We'll do. Thank you so much for having me on.
Very welcome. Have a great night.
All right, you too.
All right, that's Max. Hey, check out the film. If it comes to a theater near you or a streaming platform, we'll do our best to let you know. But it's called Now More Yes, and that was Max Hay. Rob Thomas is coming up at 7:20. We're going to talk about the new Frankenstein movie, see what Rob thought about that, and one battle after another, because last time Rob was here, he hadn't seen it yet. For once in my life, I beat Rob to a movie, so I'm anxious to talk about that with Rob. You watched Beetlejuice to gear up for Halloween. How did that? You say you watch that every year?
Yeah, I do. I really like the original Beetlejuice.
Okay.
And this time I actually watched it at Timber Tap in Kimberly.
Oh, yeah.
They had a movie night and it was, you know, Halloween themed. So I had a couple of drinks and watched Beetlejuice with my brother and my sister-in-law. So yeah, it was fun. And I just really enjoy the film.
Yeah. You want to hear something fun? I've never seen it.
Really?
Never seen the original Beetlejuice. It just did not appeal to me when it came out, you know?
It's not scary.
Right. Well, that's not why I didn't
I think
it.
The comedy you would really like in it, though.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a huge Michael Keaton fan. Love Michael Keaton.
Oh, you love him in this. Love him in this. He's hilarious.
Yeah. Let's get to some texts here. Our question of the night is, how do you like your chocolate? It is National Chocolate Day, and that's a great topic. I love talking about things I try not to eat, like booze, chocolate. I find some connection to them just by talking about them. I really do enjoy that. Paula, Conrad's mom, checks in from the 920 and says, raspberry chocolate martini. Oh, my God. You know, I've never tried one of those.
You know, I tried, when they lived in Key West, my parents, really I tried a key lime martini.
Oh my God, how good was that?
So good. It had graham cracker like on the edge of the, oh, it was so good.
I need some help right now. I might, honest to God. That sounds so delicious. And I don't, even this chocolate raspberry martini, I've never tried the chocolate martinis. It never appealed, sound gross, but I'm sure they're good because people love them.
It's like, it's just, you know, you get a little warm from them, but it's so like sweet too. It's really good.
But the key lime, that's good with anything.
Oh, so good.
Jack from Merrimack says, how do I like my chocolate? The best combination I've ever had is vanilla chocolate cake ice cream from Babcock Hall. I don't know Babcock Hall, but I love chocolate or ice cream cake. We've talked about that recently on the show. That's Jack from the 414. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the text. Lori from Hayward, she's in the 715, says, in my mouth. Well, I maybe I should have clarified what orifice I was speaking of, but I thought that was understood.
Lori. Any type of chocolate.
Any type of chocolate in Lori's mouth is what she's saying there. Great text, Lori. Thank you. Tyler, we read Tyler's, we read Ross's, we took Ollie's call. Pamela from Wisconsin Rapids, she's in the 715, says, in chocolate chip cookies. Nice. A longtime listener of WFHR just brought in fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies this afternoon. She brings us cookies every month. We are so fortunate to have such great listeners. Pamela, that is great. Thank you. Boy, would it kill our listeners to bring us some cookies once in a while? I mean, I'm not trying to...
Yeah, nothing better than freshly baked chocolate chip cookies.
I got to be honest with you. That was a joke, obviously. If someone showed up here at the studio with cookies, I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. I wouldn't.
I'm diving in.
Well, it would probably depend on who it was, but some guy just moseys up with a plate of cookies. I'm not going to partake.
You want some cookies?
Yeah, I'm not going to.
I do.
Conrad will eat them, so if you're listening. John from the 608 says, love the show, Conrad and Peter. Conrad spelled with a C. You guys are the best. How do I like my chocolate? Rich and delicious and right next to me in hand's reach. Total chocoholic, daily user. Nothing wrong with that, John. And John's a very honest guy. He also says it's loaded with benefits. Right, Conrad?
Well, you know, if you're talking about, you know, dark chocolate, definitely. If you're talking about milk chocolate, I don't know about that one.
Well, those benefits are just that it tastes amazing. Dark chocolate has antioxidants in it.
Exactly,
it's truly
yes.
A superfood. John also said, I read that. He loves Ollie. She's the sweetest thing. Ollie's getting a lot of love tonight from the couch potatoes. Steve in Florida says, I love all types of chocolate, just like Frito-Lay chips. You can't eat just one. Yeah, chips are the same way.
I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Frito-Lays suck.
What do you mean Frito-Lays suck? Fritos? Like, the actual Fritos?
Yeah, the Fritos, like those little corn ones, you know?
I can't believe I'm going to come after you over Fritos, and that's going to cut into our Norm McDonald time. Do we have time to play the Norm clip?
Yes. Yes.
Let's play it.
Yes,
we do. We'll pick up the Frito argument later. This is a funny clip of Norm.
Listen, the gals are in the news a lot. What about Kate Gosselin?
Yes, Kate Gosselin's someone who people are talking about a
bit.
From
John and Kate Plus 8. She's in the news. She says she's very lonely now and she wants to date. Mm-hmm. And this is an interesting coincidence, Conan, because just the other day I was saying, hey, I wonder if I could ever hook up with a middle-aged, bitter lady with 7-8 kids.
I love Norm MacDonald. His kid, I'm in the algorithm. They keep popping up and they're so damn funny. And I don't want to give people Norm fatigue. But what, really, Fritos? You don't. How do you not
they're
like?
They're too salty.
They're salty, but they're corn. They're like the most. Those and potato chips are like no preservatives. I mean, they're the healthiest chip you can have.
They're
health food.
Any chips are not great, but
yeah.
Those ones to me just taste like salt, and I just don't like it because I can have one and I'll be like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, but what chip doesn't taste like salt?
Well, I mean, that one's just straight salt, you know.
No, it's delicious. All right, we're coming back. Rob Thomas is going to be here. We're going to talk movies. He saw Frankenstein. Stick around, folks. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Baby, nothing's ever too far. Glitter in the sky, glitter in our eyes, shining just the way we are. I feel like we're forever every time we get together, but whatever, let's get lost on Mars.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started. You try to scream, but dare I take the sound before you make it.
You start to freeze as someone looks you right between the eyes. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network. I just got a Facebook friend request from someone who has one friend.
You can be the second.
I I never call people losers, but it's got to be a thing, right? That's like, how do you have one social media friend? I could see in real life, it's hard to make a social media. Everyone should have tons of friends. That's why I think it's some kind of scam.
You should accept the friend request message saying loser.
That's not my style. I might think it. All right, we are going to turn our attention now, folks, to the wonderful art of cinema and talk movies with our pal, Rob Thomas. He is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor and a Madison-based film critic, and we love having him on Nightlight, as always, and that's why we have him on so much. Rob Thomas, hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I've hooked up my camera, so I'm trying to jump into at least the late 20th century, if not the 21st century.
That's awesome. Well, you look great. Your office looks great. I like the wall color. That's very slick.
Yes, this is my younger daughter's former room before she moved away to college. So I'm don't tell her that I'm appropriating it as my office.
I won't say anything because I did the same thing with my son. Well, he was done with college and he left. And I said, do you mind if I use your room? You know, I was going to do it anyway, but I wanted to make him think he had a choice. And I said, you know, it's still your room, but I'm just going to put a desk and a mic in there. And he goes, yeah. He goes, Dad, do whatever you want. All right. So I did that. And he's like, he had a bunch of baseball cards on the wall and I took them down. He's like, you took down the baseball cards? I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I don't have the nerve to take down like the fairy lights and the Boy Genius poster yet. But we're going to ease into it here.
Yeah, he was 23 or 23 when I did this. I couldn't do it to my daughter's room right now either. No way. Hey, it's good to see you, buddy, and thanks for being here. Do you have a favorite way you like your chocolate, Rob?
Favorite way I like my, well, orally. I mean, yeah.
You're the second person that had to clarify that. I just thought that was assumed. I don't know what people are doing out there.
I think Reese's peanut butter cups, especially the Halloween, like the, is it pumpkins?
Oh, yeah.
That's like the perfect peanut butter to chocolate ratio.
I agree because there's more there's a little bit more chocolate. Yeah. That's great. Yep. That's a great call. Well, let's jump in because I'm excited. You've seen a lot of these movies I haven't seen yet. And I don't, you know, you saw Frankenstein. Is that in theaters yet?
It's in some theaters because it's a Netflix movie. I think a lot of theaters still don't play them, but it's playing at Flicks Brewhouse here in Madison.
It premieres
on Netflix like November 7th, I think. So,
okay.
And it was one I really wanted to see on the big screen because it's Guillermo del Toro who makes these great movies like Shape of Water and Pan's Labyrinth, and you know,
let's save Frankenstein for after the break because I'm very eager to hear what you have to say, and I'm sure listeners are too. But let's start with the film that we didn't discuss last time, One Battle After Another. Your thoughts?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved it. Might be my favorite of the year. It's definitely top three at this point. You know, when I saw the trailer, I was like, this is going to be a really intense movie.
Yeah.
And it was. But what I was not expecting is how funny it was. Like, we were laughing a lot in the movie. It's so, like, Leonardo DiCaprio is so funny. He plays this ex-revolutionary, and you think he's going to be kind of the hero, and he's really kind of a bumbler. You know, he's trying to rescue his daughter, who's much more well-equipped. And then Sean Penn plays the villain, this really right-wing army guy who's very scary, but also very funny and sort of just bizarre. And, you know, it's a movie, it feels very rewatchable to me because there's so much incredible sequences. Like, I mean, there's an actual car chase at the end. Like, that's like a car chase I've never seen before.
I
just thought it was incredible. I know you saw it as well, right?
I did, and I liked it a lot, and I agree with you. And I you know, some people are saying it's a political movie. It has a message. There's no question about that. And there are white supremacists are the bad guys in this weird club they have. But I tell friends of mine on the right, I go, well, you know, it does poke fun at the left too. I mean, it's a little, they're not saying the left is evil, but there's a lot of stuff to laugh at. If you're, it's just a good movie. And I don't think people are going to be offended when they see it. I think even people on the right would go, yeah, there are bad people like that. You know?
Yeah. And I was thinking it would be much more 2025 centric. And there's certainly things in the film that remind you of what's going on in the news now. But it's a much bigger story about fathers and daughters and the struggle that's been going on and will probably always be going on in America. Right. So it's a much bigger scope. Like I said, good.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Rob. Go. I didn't mean to cut you.
Just much more entertaining than I expected.
Yeah.
It's not a message movie at all. Yeah.
Correct. That's a great way to put it. And I loved how, like you said, how funny it was. Like, he gets reactivated. He can't remember his password. He's yelling at the guy that his daughter's in danger. Very funny. But the physical comedy, when he fell off that roof, I was laughing hysterically.
I don't know how they did that, because that really looks like him.
Yeah.
And like, he would die if he did that. Yeah. And that, and just him, like, I would imagine a lot of middle-aged guys are going to be going as him for Halloween, pulling out a bathrobe and Oakley sunglasses. I mean, I certainly would. He's just sort of this ridiculous figure, but he's also, if not a hero, at least trying to be a good dad. And it's a great movie.
He steps up. Yeah, it was great. I would say that and Sinners are probably my two favorites, and I would lean toward this one. I loved it. Now, I haven't seen Frankenstein yet, and I'm sure I'm forgetting one, but great film.
Yeah, Black Bag's my third in the top
three. Oh, yeah, that's up there too.
Yeah.
All right, that's the voice of Rob Thomas, folks. He's joining us tonight over the stream from Madison. We're going to take a quick news break here, and then when we come back, Rob is going to tell us about Frankenstein. It looks great. Is it? Rob will tell us when we come back. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, starting off the fourth quarter here. Tomorrow night on the show, John Roach will be here, TV producer, screenwriter, and director of the outstanding film, A Road at Night. John's been on before. He's going to talk about a screening they have coming up at the Driftless Film Festival. And then we have Carl Sarecki, who is from Door County Trolley and tells really great ghost stories about Door County. So that's tomorrow night on Nightlight. Right now, we get back to our friend Rob Thomas, Madison-based film critic and CityCast Madison newsletter, who joins us from Madison. Rob, how you doing? You good?
I'm great.
I'm glad to hear that. It's always fun when you're here. I love talking movies with you. Tell us about Frankenstein.
So Guillermo del Toro has like wanted to make Frankenstein for like literally decades, and like he's kind of made kind of versions of this story. Like Shape of Water was about, you know, a monster and men, and like his last movie was Pinocchio, which was sort of a Frankenstein story, right? About a maker and its creation. And so this idea of like the monster and human beings and who's the real monster. And so he's finally got a chance to make it for Netflix. He's obviously spent a long time thinking about this movie and this book and loving Mary Shelley's book, because it's a very faithful adaptation, in a good way, I think, for the most part. Oscar Isaac plays Dr. Frankenstein, and Jacob Elordi plays the monster. And his performance is really incredible, because he doesn't have the bolts in the neck like Boris Karloff.
Right.
He doesn't sing Putting on the Ritz like in Young Frankenstein. Like he plays him like a giant infant, sort of, who's just like, just the way he uses his body as he's sort of discovering existence is so different than anything you've seen in a Frankenstein movie. It's really cool. And Oscar Isaac, I think, is pretty great. He plays him as kind of like an Elon Musk tech bro who is like pursuing all these, you know, radical medical developments and not thinking about the consequences. I would say it's a little long, and the third act focuses mostly on the monster as he escapes, and it's a little dry after after what's kind of gone on before. But in general, I liked it. And I was really happy I saw it on the big screen, because like Del Toro uses the build these huge sets and there's all this detail. And so it's really worth seeing on a big screen to sort of drink all that in if you can.
I assume there's no bathtub scene with Jacob Elordi in this, with him as Frankenstein.
A salt burn type? No, I don't think so.
Okay, good. All right. Well, what did you think of Shape of Water? That movie, when I was done watching it, I liked it. I thought it was interesting, but man, I didn't know what the heck was going on. I mean, I could follow it, but I just didn't love it at the time, I guess.
Oh, I really liked it. And it was probably one of the most surprising Best Picture wins in the last 20 years. That's I never thought the Academy would go for a movie like that, where, you know, a hot fish man seduces a woman, and, you know, basically. Right. And, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of, like I said, it was sort of a Frankenstein story about this creature, and it's like more human than, I remember the Michael Shannon character was sort of this government agent. And yeah, I really liked it. I haven't watched that, I don't think, since I saw it in theaters 10 years ago. But
Rob, I want to ask you about, what do you think of Roof Man?
I really liked Roof Man.
Same.
I was quite, honestly, a very pleasant surprise. Like, I've always liked Channing Tatum. But he's often not really gotten roles that kind of, I don't know. He's so like, he's such a hunk, but he's also such a goofball at the same time.
Right.
Like, I think the 21 Jump Street movies got that, Magic Mike a little
Magic
bit,
Mike,
but like,
yeah.
And this one, he plays a real life character, this sort of gentleman burglar who would rob McDonald's, but was very nice to the employees as he was robbing them. Like, there's a story at the beginning of the film where he herds all the employees into the freezer, but gives them a big coat to keep them warm. Yeah. It's so great. Like, he's like, you're just won over by this guy.
And then he calls the cops to go and get them outright. So he knows they're not going to freeze. Yeah.
Doesn't want to get the sniffles. Yeah. Right. He just robbed them. And so the whole movie, he's kind of like this nice guy, but he's also a criminal. He breaks out of prison. That's a great scene sequence, by the way.
Yeah.
And hides out in like a Toys R Us. Like, he,
and so cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, the one thing is that like he has this romance with a woman who works there, plays by Kirsten Dunst, who's great. But it's hard for me to believe that nobody figured out that this was the guy. And, you know, like he basically led this whole double life where he was like going to church and going on dates and stuff like that. But it's just a very winning sort of comedy drama, kind of like they don't make him any like that anymore kind of movie that I was really happy to see. Yeah,
he was good. And I liked the message at the end. Like, you know, I don't want to give spoilers, but he said, you know, I wanted to get all this stuff for my daughter and my kids and material things. And he goes, and all they really needed was time with me. And it's such a heartbreaking message, but it's so, it rings true. And it's, I was surprised by how much I liked it.
Yeah. It was one of the pleasant surprises of the fall.
So let's get to another one that you saw, Rob. Sure. Blue Moon. This looks so good, and it's reviewing really well. This is Ethan Hawke, who is playing Lawrence Hart, who was the kind of the Pete Best of the Rodgers and Hammerstein. He left, or I can't remember which one he was paired up with, but he was no longer, or he went off on his own, I guess. And Ethan Hawke plays him at that time, right? When he was readjusting to life by himself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Rodgers and Hart had been together writing songs for musicals and movies for like 25 years. And like, he wrote like My Funny Valentine, and he wrote, well, Blue Moon, the title, like he wrote all these songs that are considered standards today. But yeah, this film takes place on the opening night of Oklahoma, which was Rodgers' first, musical without him, with Oscar Hammerstein. Yeah. Theater kids know all this.
I was in that show. That's the only reason.
Were you really?
Yeah, I was in high school. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big hit, right? Yeah. So, and so Hart sees it like, oh, this is passing me by. Like, this is going to be the biggest hit in Broadway history, and I'm being left behind. And it's set, it's all set basically one set or one location, this bar where the rap party is going to be, or the opening night party. And like, Hawke is like, I've never seen him in a movie like this before, where he plays like a totally different kind of character than he is. He's like this, kind of needy, quippy, but really desperate and sad man who you know is sort of lurking in the shadows as his former partner gets all this glory. The film, like he looks different. He's trans. And you know, Lorenz Hart in real life was like 4'10" or something like that. So they shoot him. Wow. So he's very small in a way that's kind of distracting, but also kind of convincing and kind of helps you let go of it being Ethan Hawke and making you believe it's this different person.
Kind of a Clifford vibe with Martin
Short.
A little bit.
I mean, it's not quite Dorf where he does the thing, where he, but you know, it approaches that.
Yeah.
But he's really good at it. I mean, really it's the movie's built around his performance, which is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that. Rob Thomas is my guest. He's a Madison-based film critic and is the editor of the CityCast Madison newsletter. A great read, so definitely check that out as well as Rob's work on his Substack. So is this like a potential Oscar role for Ethan Hawke?
I would think so. Okay. Yeah, just because it's like, I mean, the Oscars kind of go for that kind of like...
Yeah.
Transformation, especially if you're playing a real person. Like I just saw, I haven't reviewed it yet, but I just saw the new Sydney Sweeney movie, Christy, where she plays that pro boxer.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's really good in it and is completely different than you've ever seen her before. And wow. That's the kind of thing that Oscar voters seem to really like is when you could really catch somebody acting, right?
I hope that doesn't affect her soap sales. That's my biggest concern.
I think she'll be okay. I think she'll be okay.
Yeah. You're all sweaty, you're boxing. What better way to...
Right. Yeah.
Soap up the loofah with your own soap. So you said, or I read your Substack review of Ballad of a Small Player with Colin Farrell. You seem kind of lukewarm on it.
Yeah, that comes out tomorrow on Netflix. And yeah, like I said in the review, I was never bored, but I was never really satisfied. Like it's Colin Farrell plays this high rolling gambler in Macau, which is, I think, a province in China, which is like basically the Vegas of that part of the world. It's just all casinos and these luxury hotels. And at first you think he presents himself like this, you know, this upper crust Brit, but then you start learning more about who he really is. And it's him trying, you know, he's losing badly. He's trying to get, you know, that one big score to kind of, you know, pay off his debts. And the film is like beautiful. It's like pink, you know, all these neon and it's really fast moving. It was shot by the guy who made Conclave, which is very strange. It feels like a totally different looking movie. But it's just, there's kind of not much there. Like it's like, he's not that sympathetic a character. And at some point you're like, you don't really care whether he gets his money back or not. And then even he doesn't seem to really care. So like Farrell's good, but it's like, you know, I think you could start watching it and within 5 minutes you would know whether it's movie for you or not.
Well, Colin Farrell seems to have that issue in a lot of movies. He doesn't often play really likable characters. Is that on purpose, do you think, or is it just him?
I don't know. I mean, he's in like every frame of this movie, like his front and center and close up. And, you know, I think they're trying to make him this interesting, dark character with a lot of shades to him. I just wasn't that interested in him, to be honest with you. I've seen a variation of this movie a lot of times where somebody is an addict, in this case to gambling, and it's kind of like going down yeah. the tubes basically. And it was just sort of strange. I was like, this is the whole movie. Like, it's not gonna be anything other than this. And there's some fake out plot twist in the middle, which I sort of thought they were like kind of getting a little desperate to have something happen. And it's like I said, it's a beautiful looking movie, but I just didn't have much substance to it.
Rob, what about another film, The Mastermind, you reviewed? This fascinated me. I want to hear your thoughts on the film, but on Rotten Tomatoes, it got like mid-90s critics and the audience meter was 32%. Where is the discrepancy there? What the heck happened?
I believe it. It was, I go to these AMC Screen and Screen mystery movies.
Yeah.
And that was the movie a couple of weeks ago. And like, I could tell the audience was just not into it because it's like, it's sort of like a heist movie. But then it sort of peters out, becomes something different. And it's, I think it's kind of based on a true story. back in 1970 where this guy stole a bunch of paintings from a museum in Massachusetts. And so it's sort of set up like a heist, but then he gets caught, has to go on the run. I mean, I'd love to do sort of a character piece. The director Kelly Reichardt is one of my absolute favorites. And it's just so good at like getting the vibe and the details of 1970 America, right? It's like during the Vietnam War and the protests, but this guy played by Josh O'Connor is just very focused on like his own thing. So it's like, it's kind of a movie that I think promises more of a genre thriller than it ends up being. And okay. I bet that probably frustrates some viewers. I mean, I really vibed with it.
I've got one more movie to ask you about after this very short break. And then Rob is going to tell us about one or two things that are happening in our state's capital before Halloween. We'll do that next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. We're in the home stretch here at Nightlight on a Tuesday, broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. This Tuesday night, J.B. Thompson, guy behind the guy, Conrad.
Behind the guy.
Says he likes chocolate in his belly. I have to be much more specific with my questions moving forward, I think. We will get to the rest of your text in just a moment, folks. We have a few more minutes with our pal Rob Thomas, who is a Madison-based film critic and the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. Check it out. It's a great read, folks, and a terrific site. Rob, you saw the John Candy documentary and you said, if you like John Candy, you'll like the film. Does that mean it's not a great film or it's just all things John Candy and it's great?
I think it's all things John Candy and it's great. And also, how could you not like John Candy?
Exactly. Like, I mean, who doesn't like John Candy? Yeah.
Right. I mean, incredible, brilliant comic performer. And by all accounts, a very genuinely nice guy. And like, the film does a good job. It was actually made by Colin Hanks, the son of Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And Tom Hanks worked with John Candy. I think it was in Volunteers.
Splash?
That movie.
Yeah.
Splash, oh, yeah. Splash. Duh. Of course.
But I think you're right. I think Volunteer. They did two films together,
but,
I think.
Yeah. But Splash was the big one, I think. And Tom Hanks is in the film, talks about like John Candy really taught him how to like do like improv in scenes and like play off each other and be kind of loose in a way but the film like, you know, looks at his private life, his public life. You know, he was a family man. He got really famous. There are some incredible clips from SCTV, which I'd not seen.
So
since.
Funny.
And he's so good.
Yeah.
He plays just so many different characters. Like I forgot when he played Pavarotti, like so funny. Yeah. And you think like he was probably like in his 20s when he wasn't that old and he was just brilliant. So, it's on Prime Video, I think, and definitely worth a watch.
I have to check it out. I still haven't seen it. I can't believe he's been gone 31 years.
Yeah.
He's died a year. That's just, it doesn't seem right. Rob, let's get to a CityCast Madison article you wrote. Can you tell, for those of my listeners, and there are quite a few in Madison, what's happening this week leading up to Halloween? Sounds like there's some cool stuff going on.
There's a lot of good stuff. Yeah, there's, I think Wednesday night, is the sort of the big downtown Halloween thing where you bring the kids. You can go trick-or-treating at local businesses. The whole square is set up with like all kinds of events and cool stuff. And it'll be a little chilly, but that's how it should be in Halloween. Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
So that's really good. And then I don't know, this is the same in other cities, but there's like a tradition in the local music scene that on Halloween, local bands like will play as other bands. They do cover like an entire set pretending to be like a tribute set. So like at the Atwood Music Hall, their bands pretend to be like Wilco and I think there's Queens of the Stone Age and a whole bunch of different ones. I always think that's really cool because you can kind of see like, you know, who these bands really love, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. So, and some, I think, take it really far and like we'll dress up and stuff. So, yeah. So it's coming up fast and then we'll be in November.
Very cool. And real quick, just Slow Horses season 5. How are you digging it?
I love it. Although every time I'm like, this is going to be over next week. There's only like 6 episodes a season usually, right? So it's,
yeah.
I think the next one's the last
tomorrow,
one.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I think it's been a really good season. It's always like, one thing is like, I feel sometimes they never give all the characters enough to do.
There's a lot of characters. I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a very Roddy heavy season. Roddy's hilarious. But like River and, you know, a couple other ones don't get, even Jackson Lamb is not in it that much. So that's my one quibble, but otherwise it's been a great season.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it too. Great stuff, Rob. Can't wait to do it again. Enjoy your office until your daughter gets home and let's talk again soon, buddy.
Absolutely. Good to see you.
All right. You too. That's Rob Thomas. Check out his work on his Substack. He's so on movies and he reviews just, I went there today and I'm like, I can't even talk about all these movies. He's really a hardworking guy and does great work also at CityCast Madison. So, let's close out with some TexCon. What do you say?
Yes, oh, I agree.
Like that enthusiasm. John, in the 608 says John Candy is special. Is that what he said? John just dropped. Oh, he saw the John Candy special. Amazing man. Lots of circumstances. If you didn't love him before, you do now. I think everybody already loves him. And John says, great guest in regard to Rob Thomas. Couldn't agree more, John. And John says, this dude talks like everyone I met in the 70s. He's awesome. Do you think he's talking about Rob Thomas or John Candy? Probably Rob Thomas, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I never thought of Rob as a retro. I always thought Rob was kind of a contemporary guy. But, you know, retro's good. Thank you, John. Steady Eddie chimes in the 608 says, my dearest chocolate, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. My dear sweet M&Ms, you are crunchy and sweet and so neat to eat. Because you melt in my mouth and not in my hands, I love you so much. I'm starting to feel uncomfortable reading this, Steady Eddie. He says, sweet Hershey bar, you were my first true chocolate love since the day you arrived in my life, all the way from Hershey, PA. You used to cost me a nickel when we first met, and each bite was an inspiration. But that was long ago, and now I must pay more than a dollar for your chocolate deliciousness. But love, you are still a bargain at 15 times that nickel price. Please always be true to me, and I will always be true to you, Steady Eddie. Do you think he meant to send that to us, or was that...
That's a beautiful text. It made me tear up a little bit over here.
It was. I was starting to think there was... But a nickel? How old is Steady Eddie?
I don't know. When was
I'm going to say low 70s. Would that be right, Steady Eddie? Let us know, buddy. Bridget in the 818 says, in a cookie, I love chocolate chip cookies. I agree, Bridget in the 818. And that's our second chocolate chip cookie text. That's great stuff. Anna from Madison says, Pete, please ask Rob. Oh, I just saw this. Damn it. Pete, please ask Rob if he saw Song Sung Blue, the movie with Kate Hudson and Hugh Jackman. I wish I would have seen this, Anna. I'm sorry. I really want to see it. I don't think Rob has seen that yet. And then 608 says, hey, guys, lightly salted.
She said that's a picture of Fritos, too.
Oh, yeah. They have lightly salted Gross. Fritos. Thank you for Gross. No. That's good stuff. I'm with you, 608. Thank you very much. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow night to do it all again on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Thank you to Rob Thomas. Thank you to Max Hay. Good luck with the film. And thank you for all your texts. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.